Oh, here we go. Hello and welcome to the International Soccer Preview by Soccer Files Canada. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor. And here we will be previewing all eight teams in separate podcasts, two for each team actually, for the CONCACAF World Cup qualifying final round. This first will focus on the team, its history and prospects, with a bit of an emphasis on qualifying history. And then in a separate podcast, we will look at the players, which we've organized position by position, although somewhat artificially, and we'll look at the main candidates for each position.
All right, and we are considering an update podcast around Christmas time, so keep an eye out for that. And meanwhile, we'll jump into the look at El Salvador. So we're going to overview the country, the intro of the country, its geography, population. Then the main part of the podcast, which is the history of the El Salvadorian team. So we'll take a look at their World Cup history with emphasis on their qualifying history this time, since we're talking about World Cup qualifying. And as always, more of an emphasis on the recent than the past. We'll take a look at their 2022 World Cup qualifying so far, and a quick look at some of their key players and then their prospects, how they are expected to fare in this eight-team group. So can you tell us a little bit about El Salvador?
Sure. So El Salvador is one of the smallest countries in Central America, and they're the second smallest of the eight teams in the group, just ahead of Jamaica. Though they have a population of 6.8 million people, which is fifth out of the eight teams. And in terms of the seven small Central American countries, they're kind of middle of the pack. So relatively a large population considering their small size.
All right. Thanks for that. And before we get into the team history, do we have any nicknames for El Salvador?
Yeah. So they're known as La Selecta, which I think is kind of there's variations on that throughout the region, or also the Cuscatlecos. I probably did not say that right. In fact, I know I didn't. Cuscatlecos. So we'll leave it there, so I don't have to say it any more times.
Okay, maybe we can find an El Salvadorian who can teach us how to say it. Let's get into the history of the team, beginning with a tournament, an overview of their participation in tournaments and their major achievements. So they're a much older team than many people will think, first entering the World Cup in 1938. Wow. But like many teams in the Americas, they withdrew when the Cup was held in Europe for a second straight time, rather than the World Cup alternating between Europe and South America as promised. They were also reportedly invited to the 1950 World Cup, but withdrew. So they didn't actually enter until 1970, but then they participated consistently after that. Not so in regional competition. They were there from the first edition in 1963. They actually hosted it. Participation was patchy, though. They didn't enter the third edition in 1967. They were disqualified in 1969 and withdrew in 1971. However, I guess it is like the World Cup from 1970. They've been consistent since 1971 here. And finally, their local tournament for the Gold Cup qualification was the UNCAF Nations Cup, later called the Copa Centroamericana. That is a kind of a competition for Central American teams, and they entered every version from 1991 to 2017 when it ended. And finally, they were eligible for the 2016 Copa America Centenario, but they failed to qualify for that one. So they've never been involved in that. So their best achievements are reaching the World Cup at the first time of trying in 1970 and then again in 1982. They also finished second in regional tournaments. In 1963 and 1981, second is the best that they did. And then, strangely, in the Central American tournament, they finished third six times, but never any better than that, even though it's a smaller tournament.
Right. So El Salvador has qualified for two World Cups, as you mentioned, in 1970 and 1982. While this is by far their best achievement, these qualifications are perhaps not as impressive as they seem, which you will get into. They did do well at regional levels to get there, but their poor showings, humiliating in fact, kind of barely made the trip worth it.
Right. So we'll take a look at their qualifying. After withdrawing in 1938 and 1950, they stayed out of the World Cup until 1970. And then in 1970, after winning the first of three rounds over Netherlands, Antilles, and Dutch Guiana, they exchanged home wins with Honduras. Goal factor wasn't a deciding factor, and actually they won this round on and the next on goal difference. But at this time, they simply replayed the game when the teams were tied on points. So after home wins with Honduras, they had to play a third game, and El Salvador won that 3-2 in extra time. I don't know if you've heard about the football war that shows up in some trivia books, Connor.
I have, though I don't know much about it.
Yeah, well, they kind of say that there is a war that started because of a soccer game. It's a bit more complicated than that. It was in 1970, and it is true that the game kind of sparked tensions between the two countries. But really, the real issues were about land reform and El Salvadorian immigration to Honduras. So the war just kind of sparked those tensions. Oh, sorry, the game sparked those tensions. Anyway, El Salvador continued on to the final round, round three of three, where they faced Haiti. And it was kind of similar to the second round, where they each exchanged a win. This time they each won away. And again, they would have won on goal difference, but it went to a playoff game. That also went to extra time. So after this long and arduous journey in their first qualification, El Salvador won to qualify for the 1970 World Cup. 1974 was a poor follow-up, though. Two losses to Guatemala and they were out. In 1978, they passed a difficult first round ahead of Costa Rica, but they finished third of six in the final round behind Mexico and Haiti, Haiti being a strong team at that time. But 1982 saw their second successful qualification. It started with a second place finish in the Central American zone and then a second place finish in the whole region, finishing ahead of Mexico and Canada. But in both rounds, Honduras had finished ahead of them, but it turned out second place was enough to advance in both cases. But as we saw in the 1970 and 1982 World Cups, they didn't do well in the Cups. So Honduras again edged them out in round two of three in 1986, which prevented them from reaching the final round. But they did make the final round for the next three editions, which basically put them among the top five teams in the region during the 1990s. But they did finish in the lower half of the table in those cases. In fact, 1990 was just a mess. It's a bit of a comical story, or maybe a sad story that I won't get into. But most teams had finished three or four games before they even played one. They ended up playing their home games in Honduras. One game was abandoned, and then they just didn't bother finishing the last two games. It was a mess. After 1998, they reached the final round only once in 2010, where they beat Mexico and tied USA at home, but lost all five games on the road. So generally, they finished third in the semi-final round, didn't make it to the final round. It was Honduras and Jamaica knocking them out in 2002, USA and Panama in 2006. We've talked about the final round, which they reached in 2010. But let's see how they've done since then, a bit more close up.
So, yeah, in the 2014 World Cup, they got a bye to round two, which put them in a 4-team group stage. They won all six games there over relatively weak opposition, Dominican Republic, Suriname, and Cayman Islands. Round three, the semifinal round, started well with a draw in Costa Rica, but the group, which also included Mexico, proved too difficult after that. A scandal after the Cup actually saw most of their team receive lifetime bans for match fixing, which included games in the third round here against Mexico and Costa Rica.
Wow.
All right, moving on to 2018. They received a bye in the first round and then beat first St. Kitts and Nevis and then Curaçao in two-legged playoffs. Next was a group stage involving Mexico, Honduras, and Canada, with them needing to finish in the top two to advance to the Hex. However, the bans handed out over the match-fixing scandal in 2014, which included many of their most senior players, perhaps took their toll here since they El Salvador proved very weak, managing only home draws with Canada and Honduras and finishing bottom of a group, which Mexico dominated.
Yeah, to be honest, I had thought that they hadn't changed that much because of the ban. And maybe in the big picture, that's right. But definitely it seemed to affect them here, although that's a pretty tough group.
Absolutely, yeah. And three teams that they'll meet again here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of World Cup. Well, not really, because we're going to look at their 2022 campaign, but brings us to the end of the history of their World Cup. And now we'll turn our attention to the Regional Cup. In the Regional Cup, they actually fared pretty well early on. They finished second and fourth in the first two, that's 1963 and 1965. And they had a good run around 1980, coming third in 1977 and then second in 1981. They did pretty poorly after that with a particularly chaotic tournament in 1989. I described that above because it's the same competition. The 1989 CONCACAF Championship was also the qualifier for the 1990 World Cup. And so that was a bit of a mess. That poor performance continued into the early years of the Gold Cup, which started in 1991, either not qualifying or reaching the cup but losing at the group stage. They earned only a single win over Trinidad and Tobago until 2002. And 2002 and 2003 saw them pass the group stage, though they were both based on single wins in a three-team group where the top two passed. They lost heavily in the quarterfinals to USA and Costa Rica, respectively, there. And 2005 marked the last edition where they failed to qualify. But from that time, they've either fallen at the group stage or at the quarterfinal stage. We'll see if that's true in their last two tournaments by taking a closer look at them.
Yeah, starting with 2019, qualification saw them play four games with the top 10 teams and kind of a super table of 34 teams advance. A narrow win requiring an injury time goal over a surprisingly strong Montserrat was followed by a home win to Barbados. The third game saw them lose to Bermuda, who qualified, but a win in their final qualifier over Jamaica saw them finish last among the qualifying teams. But nevertheless, they made it to the cup. Once there, they won their first game against Curaçao and tied Jamaica, so seemed on course for advancing from the group. However, a heavy loss to Honduras, combined with Curaçao tying Jamaica, that left them in third place in the group stage on goal difference behind Curaçao.
Right. How about the recent cup in 2021?
El Salvador qualified for that cup by winning their League B Nations League group, where they won 5 of 6 games. In the group stage of the tournament, they comfortably beat Guatemala and Trinidad and Tobago, so they were already through when they faced Mexico in their final game. They lost there on a single goal in an exciting game where they almost earned a draw. In the quarterfinal, they went down 3-0 to Qatar, and all looked lost until their stand-in forward, Joaquin Rivas, who replaced their ill regular striker, David Rugamas. Rivas scored 2 quick goals, making an exciting finish, although they did fall short of equalizing.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the game against Mexico, especially. They were really good in the second half. And really deserved a draw there. We're going to just whip back to the local tournament, which is becoming a bit irrelevant now that it's been replaced. But we'll see how they did among the teams in the Central American region. They almost invariably finished third or fourth, though 2003 was their last place finish, their last third place finish before 2013. So they also finished third in 2017, actually, which was the last edition. So some below par performances here, but generally third or fourth place in the region, which seems to be the case now. This competition has been replaced by the CONCACAF Nations League. It was the qualifier for the Gold Cup, but it's defunct now. And their local rankings place them in League B, which Connor just showed us. They comfortably won in 2019. So I think they're going to be in League A now. Is that right, Connor?
Pardon me. Yes, they'll be in League A, where the top teams in the region compete.
That's right. And that's probably where they belong. In summary, then, El Salvador generally does well to make it to the final round of World Cup qualifying. But in recent years, they've fallen in the semifinal round. The fact that they're in the final round here in 2022 is partly because it was expanded from 6 to 8 teams, and they were always on the edge, so no surprise that they're the one of the top 8 teams. However, they do seem pretty far from reaching the cup. In gold play, they often pass the group stage, but the quarterfinal seems to be a bit of a ceiling for them, and the Central American zone showed them to be third or fourth strongest in that area. So the overriding theme, I feel, is that they don't change that much. They did kind of drop a little bit after the match bans handed out in 2013. But overall, it doesn't seem to have affected them much. They kind of stay at the same middling level. Let's take a look now at their World Cup 2022 qualifying to this point. And Connor, take it away.
All right. So they entered in the first round of qualifying, which saw them placed in a 5-team group. Once again, Montserrat, who we mentioned earlier, they again provided some trouble for El Salvador, tying them 1-1 and scoring a late equalizer. But that was the only blemish on their record. El Salvador won their other 3 games to finish top of the group and to advance to the next round. There they had a home-and-home against St. Kitts and Nevis, who were kind of surprise winners of their group, but El Salvador won easily 6-0 on aggregate.
That's right. Montserrat's a bit of an interesting story, and they seem to plague El Salvador. They have a striker from England, I think the championship, named Lyle Taylor, is it, or Kyle Taylor? Do you know anything?
Yeah, Lyle Taylor with currently Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, so he's actually brought them up from being a very weak team to being kind of on the edge of qualifying. It'll be interesting to see how they do. But let's look at the final round schedule for El Salvador. And does anything jump out to you there in the order of games here?
Yeah, what jumps out is that they play their first of their first seven games, which is their first half of games. Five of them are at home, which means they're on the road for five of their last seven games. So that potentially gives them an opportunity to start well, but it does create a very difficult finish, including their final game away to Mexico. So they won't want to be relying on having to get points from that final game.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that other than to say, you know, their position on the table might be a bit inflated in the early going, which will cause Canada some anxiety. But they do really have kind of a tough finish there.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the key players. We are going to do a separate podcast on players. And here we're kind of rotating the discussion around the scorers over the last few tournaments. And what do you say, Connor?
Yeah, well, David Rugamas, he scored 8 goals in qualification so far, including a hat trick against the U.S. Virgin Islands. So he seems their main goal threat, but he did not participate in the 2021 Gold Cup. He fell ill, possibly to COVID, but it's not clear. So he didn't participate there. Instead, Joaquin Rivas, who's actually a midfielder, kind of stepped forward into that center forward position and played well, scoring 3 goals. A couple other big names weren't in the 2021 Gold Cup. Nelson Benilla, as well as Rudolfo Zelaya. So those are players that, you know, if they're still in the team, they may come back and would help them out.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if they still are on the team. I really liked Zelaya in, I think it was the 2013 or 15 Gold Cup. Was a very exciting player. And he did participate in qualifying. That would have been the CONCACAF Nations League. CONCACAF Nations League got 2 goals there. But the fact that they weren't on the Gold Cup squad makes me wonder if they're retired or kind of off the team.
All right. Should we move on to prospects?
All right. Let us take a look at the rankings here. How are they standing in the world and in the CONCACAF rankings, Connor?
In the FIFA rankings, they're 64th. According to the ELO rankings, they're 74th, so a bit lower. It means, according to FIFA, they rank as a 7th strongest team in the region, and according to ELO, they're the 8th. And I think that's where we generally see them. They're just outside that traditional top 6, which was the Hex. So now that it's expanded to 8 teams, they've qualified, but that 7th, 8th position, and again, kind of making the last 8 of the Gold Cup, seems to kind of accurately reflect their strength.
Yeah, it would kind of suggest that they're going to be at the bottom of this group.
Yeah, we'll discuss that a little bit more. But certainly the rankings do have them as 7th or 8th, so that's probably where we'd expect them to finish. They have risen a little bit over the past 5 years. They were as low as 137th in FIFA and 111th in ELO just 5 years ago in December 2016. But they're back up into kind of the 60s, 70s, which is kind of where they've been in their good periods throughout history.
Yeah, and that's why I suggest that they haven't, you know, changed that much over the years, always around that 7th or 8th place. Are we ready to move on to the head-to-head?
Take it away.
Okay. Well, we'll see how they compare with other teams in this final round, starting with Canada. They have 3 wins, 4 draws, and 8 losses to Canada. So Canada has the upper hand definitely there. They tied in 2015 Gold Cup group stage, and in 2018 World Cup qualifying, they tied in El Salvador, but Canada won the other game. So even in recent times, Canada has a bit of an edge there. A long history with Costa Rica, since they played them in the Copa Central America tournament. So it is 7 wins, 9 draws, and 17 losses. And in recent times, Costa Rica bested them in 2014 World Cup qualifying, but they tied in the 2015 Gold Cup group stage and in the last Copa Central America there, they tied. So could be close there. With Honduras, they have 8 wins, 7 draws, and 19 losses. Honduras tends to get the better of them, although El Salvador was dominant in the early years from 1963 to 81. But in recent years, Honduras bested them in 2018 World Cup qualifying. They tied in El Salvador, but El Salvador lost in Honduras. And then Connor mentioned that big loss in the 2019 Copa America, where Honduras beat them 4-0 in a commanding win.
You mentioned their period of strength from 1963 to 81. That's where 5 of their 8 wins have come from. Since 1981, El Salvador's recorded just 3 wins in Honduras, and they've played a lot of games in that time because they do regularly meet in UNCAF.
More than 20 games. Great. Thanks for pointing that out. And moving on to Jamaica, it's also a losing record with Jamaica. So 3 wins, 4 draws, and 6 losses. And recently they lost to them in the 2015 Gold Cup group stage. But then in 2017, 2019, they tied them. Those are in the Gold Cup group stages. So maybe they can get something out of Jamaica. As expected with Mexico, a kind of an odd little fact here is that they have never tied Mexico. So it's going to go one way or the other, I suppose. They have 3 wins, 0 draws, and 15 losses to Mexico. And they've lost in every recent meeting, 2017, both legs of the 2018 World Cup qualifying and in the recent Gold Cup group stage, although that was a close game.
Yeah, eight losses on the bounce to Mexico, so they have some work to kind of overturn that that record.
Yeah, well, as I say, they kind of deserved a little more from the recent game. Over Panama, they have a winning record, but they haven't played them in quite a while. They have 6 wins, 3 draws, and 3 losses. But the last time they met was in 2011 in the Gold Cup quarterfinal. So that was a 1-1 loss because they lost 5-3 on penalties there. Sorry, I'm just surprised they haven't met since then. They probably have met in the Copa Central America, but I didn't have that in the record here. Finally, their record against the USA. They have never beaten the USA. They've tied them 3 times, and they have 11 losses. And their 2 most recent meetings are in the 2013 Gold Cup quarterfinal and the quarterfinal of the 2017 Gold Cup. They lost 5-1 in 2013 and then 2-0 in 2017. So they probably won't be expected to get anything out of the USA. Anything to add there, Connor?
No. That's a good overview of their head-to-head. So, yeah, in summary, losing records against all teams but Panama. Yes, certainly struggle against the USA and Mexico, the top teams in the region.
Great. I'm glad for that little summary at the end there because that was a lot of information. We don't actually have any information on the odds from the bet makers, which is usually another good way to kind of sense how the general opinion of them is. But we've got a lot of information here, so let's try to put it all together. What do you think for El Salvador here, Connor?
Well, I think the head-to-head records, the FIFA rankings, and as well as their recent history in tournaments, all point to the same direction, which is they're kind of just on the edge of the better teams in the region, kind of 7th to 8th overall. And I would expect them to finish about that here. Had it just been the Hex, had it just been 6 teams, it's likely or plausible that they wouldn't have qualified. So they are in perhaps by dint of the expanded format. They're capable of getting points off most teams, perhaps especially at home. But I do see them as one of the weakest teams. Perhaps Panama, who we've mentioned. And I would probably see a bottom two finish most likely, though certainly capable of picking up points.
Yeah, my general impression, or I called it my thesis with El Salvador, is that they really don't change that much. So unlike other teams, they don't really have periods where they put a good foot forward or have periods where they are particularly weak. So I think they will end up around 7th or 8th here. I think one danger is that other teams might take them too lightly and, you know, think that these are the easy pickings of the group, but certainly not. I don't think that they are an easy team in the group. How about you?
Yeah, I think they'll be competitive in most of their games. I see a win or two possible from some of the weaker teams, but they could play spoiler in this group, especially with the, pardon me, especially with the draw. So I think teams like Canada, Honduras, Costa Rica will really need to be wary of them. And for those teams, it could be how they perform against the weakest teams in the group that could ultimately determine their rankings. If somebody, you know, for example, slips up.
Yeah, I mean, we saw in the with the home games at the beginning that they may get off to a good start here. But a lot of times teams like this play an important role, even if they're not kind of in the top of the table themselves. It's where teams like Mexico and USA may drop points to them that can dictate the outcome of the group at the top. So I see them as being a bit of a danger to the other teams who are trying to do well. But yeah. Give it to me straight, Connor. You've said that they're going to finish near the bottom of the table. But I want to know how many points you see El Salvador getting.
I do see them playing the spoiler role. I am going to pick them to finish last in the group. And I'm going to give them 5 points. I think they're capable of a win and maybe a couple draws, but the loss column will probably add up and could get double digits from their 14 games.
All right. Well, it's not that I disagree with you there. I'm going to pick them as second last in the group, getting 7 points. Not necessarily because they'll do better than what you're suggesting, but I just think this will be a very tight round of qualifications. So I think even the bottom teams will get quite a few points here.
All right.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our look at El Salvador. And stay tuned. We will be looking at their players and also we'll be looking at the other teams in this group. Thanks for joining me, Connor.
Yes, I'll see you next time.
You betcha. Bye-bye.